Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Olin Krutz.
You know, like if I was in the building, let's help the Bears. If I was in the building, I would take all their quotes and put them up in front of them.
Oh, Billy.
And be like, this is what you said last year.
That's a long meeting.
This is what you said, this what you, and then, okay, guys, like eventually it's time to live up.
Being able to call out the things that aren't up to standard right there in the moment, man to man, that is something that Ben's going to be really good at.
You just got to go back to the drawing board and start putting people in different positions.
I think the biggest thing is, I mean, they're not accepting anything below the standard. And I mean, we're being held accountable. And when you f*** up, excuse my language, you being presented in front of the team.
Nobody wants to be called out, you know, but that's important, you know, for a team and for us to be able to go out there and, you know, hold each other accountable.
We understand, you know what I mean? We've been through a lot of stuff as an organization, as a football team, but none of that stuff is what we focus on right now.
You know, no detail goes unnoticed. Ben's all about the details, and you feel that in every meeting.
To be honest, truly be honest, I feel like it's different. Like, I know a lot of players say that, but the only reason I say that is because when I walked into the weight room doing OTAs, the linemen were getting after it. Like, you hear the weights just smashing, just getting, you know, everybody just getting to work. And that never happened while I was with the Bears. Hard work, you know, we're just going to keep working. We're not going to talk. And we're just going to put the work in and just let it, you know, speak for itself.
Why are you losing the first two games? Undisciplined, yep. No detail, not executing.
Yeah,
not why physical. Did you tell me you lost last year? Oh, because the coach didn't hold to a standard. But this year, the standard's there. So then who is it?
I think our practice habits are yet to reflect a championship caliber team.
Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
How about that? Tanny leaving a little treat for Olin there in the open. This segment with Olin Krutz is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. O joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Oh, let's start with some of the big talk that we've heard from the Bears since the hiring of Ben Johnson, and it's fresh and everything's on the former coach. Why do you think we haven't seen the fruits of the labor of the change?
Well, first of all, is anybody better at it than Tanny? I don't think so. He holds himself to a standard. He remembers the details. He focuses on them and he gets stuff done.
Yep.
It takes a long time, Lawrence, to change a culture, and it takes a lot of people around one guy saying something. But look, he's not in every room, right? He's not in every walkthrough. He's not in every drill. He's not at every practice. So football buildings, what you'll notice about them when teams win for a while is when you take a look at everybody that was in there, you're usually shocked and you say, man, oh, he was there too? Well, I didn't know that guy was there. I didn't know all those good people were in one building holding everybody to the standard, because most, like you guys know, most of the time in football buildings, man, they're telling you exactly what you want to hear, right? They're telling the media, they come to a certain town, they come to Chicago, they come to Illinois, they know what everybody believes in here, right? Believe in hard work, blue collar, tough, wake up in the morning, go do your job, do the things you're supposed to do. So guess what they tell you at the podium? Exactly what you want to hear. But you know what talks to me? Film. Film talks to me. I don't see that on film, and that's what really what we're trying to talk about when you're at the pre- and post-game show, and what we've been trying to talk about now for so many years. And you guys know this. Off the mic, I've been telling you guys for a while. It really worries me when 40 millionaires blame one guy for the fact that they can't do their job. right? Because you don't care who's in the building. You don't care who is the guy holding the standard. You just care that you're doing your job, right? You never blame somebody that you can't do your work. But that's what they did at Halas Hall. And then they came out for 2 weeks in a row, and it's early in the season, and it's early in the Ben Johnson era, and they got a lot to learn, a lot to prove. But they laid an egg last week.
Olin, how did you take Ben calling out the practice habits and Grady Jarrett not taking that well and responding the way that he did yesterday? What do you make of that dynamic? You've probably been through similar.
Yeah, the first thing I thought when Ben Johnson said that was it's like the people who are supposed to take care of a building and keep it clean, like the janitors walked out of a building and started screaming at everybody, why the hell is it so dirty in there, right? Like, whose job is that, right? Like, and I'll go help. I mean, if you're mad, I'll go help you out. You know, I got to pick stuff up. But it seems like, the bathroom was dirty and everybody was screaming. It was supposed to be cleaning the bathroom. Why the hell is the bathroom so dirty? Why is there crap in the toilet? I don't know. I that's not what I do. It's just a little strange to me. And I know, man, I mean, we've heard this before at Halas Hall, like people are looking for answers, right? And they want to, blame this culture and this, this thing that you can't really define, right? Like, oh man, we must not be paying attention to the details if we have 55 penalties to open the year. And when you watch their film, right, there's busted coverages, their linemen not working together, their running backs not getting the 3 or 4 extra yards, their receivers look like they're in the wrong place, there's quarterbacks missing blitzes, there's D linemen not holding a point of attack, there's linebackers not running with running backs. Everything that could happen to the Chicago Bears is happening. There's a kicker who was supposed to, we thought he was a kicker out of bounds. He didn't. So he just said, but you know what? I'll do that. I'll do that next week. Right. He did it the first play of the game when it was the wrong time to kick it out of bounds. So it's just it's like a circus you're watching up there at Halas Hall. And to be honest with you guys, I'm in Oxford, Ohio, to my University of Miami to watch my daughter play volleyball. You guys can fill me in on the way Grady Jarrett reacted to what Coach Johnson said.
Lawrence, you want to phrase it to him, or it's really just what the idea is that the players might be a little uncomfortable. That's okay. Like a coach doing that in the media, that's okay.
Well, the other part of it, was that Grady kind of was surprised that Chicago fans might be upset with what they've seen over the last couple of weeks. And he's apparently not used to this because, and I would tell him that Atlanta football fans are very different from Chicago football fans. It's a whole different dynamic here instead of a place where SEC football is probably more important than the Atlanta Falcons.
Welcome to Chicago, right? And that's why I always tell people, I was shocked when I walked on a field in New Orleans when I went down there my 14th year, and there was like one media guy out there, right? You go to Chicago Bears practice, not only is there 30 or 40 media guys, but there's Hall of Fame writers, right? Hall of Fame writers, and there's all the biggest stations there, and everyone cares about what you're doing in Chicago. That's what makes it great to play here. And Grady Jarrett, from what I hear from him, from what I understand about him and him being a professional, he'll get used to it, right? He'll raise to the level of everyone breaking down everything you're doing. I would say, Grady, do me a favor, man. Just look at the last 12 years of the Chicago Bears record, and you'll realize why everyone's panicking and saying, man, what the hell is going on there? Because we've been watching this film for a while now. And is it fair to Ben Johnson? No. Right? Is it fair to Caleb Williams? No. Is it fair to Grady Jarrett? No. But that is your reaction. It's like, we've seen this movie before, man. We've seen what you guys are saying. We have heard this before, right? Coach Eberflus is coming to town, and he got fired midseason and last year, and no one was teaching Caleb how to watch film, and no one was holding us to the standard, and you know the details are not there, and we heard that, right? They fired Shane Waldron, and they knew it in camp, but they didn't know what to do. There's all these things going on here at Halas Hall for a while now, and that's why you are under this microscope, and get used to it, right? And I'm sure he will. He will get used to it, and so will the rest of them. But if I could give them just a hint, like Coach came out this week and said, we're going to make practice competitive, like for once, just do it and tell us about it after it works.
I think that that's a fair way to look at it. And we're talking with Olin Kreutz here on a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday. And when we talk about all of this stuff and looking at the film, and it's been funny, like all of our players that we talk to throughout the week have all had a similar tone when it comes to, hey, man, I've looked at the film and things aren't right. What's the one thing, or go in whatever direction you want, when you're watching the tape that concerns you the most?
I think we went over it, right? When you watch the tape, and I hate to repeat what they say, but it's just, it really is just the details, whether the linemen aren't working together on combo blocks, whether the coverage, the guys aren't working together, communicating, whether the guys aren't fitting their run fits. And a lot of that, I mean, I guess they could explain by the system is new, and we have a lot to learn about the details of this system, right? Whether it be a wide receiver is in the wrong area, a quarterback just throwing up an interception. Everybody together now, guys, everybody in this building, they all have, you know, special teams, whether it's not, you know, game management, challenging plays, you should know rules to kicking the ball, not kicking the ball out of bounds, kicking the ball out of bounds to open the game the next week. I mean, in those two games, you turn the film on. I turned it, like last week, pregame, they asked me who was going to win the game. I said the Bears were going to get blown out. The Lions are going to win it 31-17. That's just off of film, guys. That's just off of watching even the Lions get blown out of Green Bay. You could see them. They were getting beat man-to-man in that game, but they weren't making a ton of mental mistakes. And nothing gets you beat faster in the NFL than mental mistakes and not executing and looking like the coaching staff doesn't really know the strength of their players yet and how to put them and where to put them and what to ask them to do. So fair to them, right? We're trying to be as fair as we can in week three here, and they have a very winnable game coming up Sunday here at Soldier Field. But as fair as you can, the coaches are trying to actually learn what they have in their players. Because let me tell you something, guys, right now, one thing I learned in the NFL, and so the bullets start flying, you don't know what you have. You don't know what you have in your locker room. Everybody can say all they want in preseason. That's what you hear about. Everyone talking about, man, look at these preseason all pros. We'll find out week six, seven, and eight what they're really all about. And if we just, I guess we got to be patient and give this team room for the coaches to learn what they have, for the players to learn the details of the schemes that they're in now. Because, guys, there's nowhere else to go but up from what we saw on film the first 2 weeks.
So it's a great point, Olin. Like, they're learning their guys now that they're seeing the bullets flying. We saw a lot more runs out of shotgun, didn't we, in the second week in Detroit. So I don't know whether that's an adjustment for DeAndre or for Caleb Comfort on the road. I'm not exactly sure what that's about. And, you know, what are your thoughts on that? As we've thought a lot about the run game, I wonder what we'll see on Sunday as they're learning what these guys are good at.
Yeah, it just, it's, you know, Caleb is dangerous out of the shotgun, right? It's what he's most comfortable with. The defense feels threatened when he's back there. Will he keep the ball? Will he throw the ball? It just kind of helps you handle one or two defenders that would normally be in the box. And I think, you know, it sounds good, right? We're going to put Caleb under center. We like play action. We like all this stuff that we see out of him on the center. But how do, if you were to simplify, you two guys know just as much as anybody nowadays with the way quarterbacks come up in these spread offenses, half of them are doing 7-on-7 all year long nowadays, right? And they're always in the shotgun. They're always in spread offenses. And a lot of them, like I thought about, I didn't think about, Dustin and Molly brought up at the post-game show, like how many quarterback sneaks has Caleb actually run, right? They got stopped twice. There's another one. Stopped twice on quarterback sneak, right? How many has he actually taken from under center? You could probably count them on both hands, right? It hasn't been a lot, right? How many in high school? How many in college? How many in the NFL? Under center, quarterback sneaks, guys, has he taken? So he's not great there with his footwork. He's not great coming out from under center. The running back doesn't get the ball sometimes when he's supposed to, and that's all the things that Ben Johnson and Declan Doyle and Barrett and all these guys are brought here for, and I just think that's a little bit of shock. I'll keep going back to this. A little bit of shock to everyone's system, just how far away these Chicago Bears are. But as you guys know from talking to me off air, I am not shocked at all how far they got to go to get to 500.
When you look at Dallas's defensive tape, and obviously Matt Eberflus is trying to install what he wants to run, you lose Micah Parsons, that's not great. Are there opportunities here for the Bears to get some stuff done on offense?
Definitely. There's definitely opportunities. They definitely have matchup advantages with Kelce Love and Cole Kmet and Luther Burden and whoever they want to put in the middle of that field versus the Dallas Cowboys. Right? And I've seen their best cornerback is also out with all the weapons the Bears have. And, guys, the interior of their line, they still flash, right? They're still – There's still some times where there was a 20-yard outside zone last week that Swift hit, I think it was in the first quarter. And Dahlman reaches the nose. Now, it's the backup nose guard, but that's beautiful. The combo block on the backside was beautiful. I mean, these the offensive line that the Bears have assembled, they can dominate a game like this, but you can't keep hurting yourself, right? You can't keep getting penalties. You can't keep getting holdings. You can't keep getting personal foul face masks. You can't keep having, you know, false starts on every play and think you're just going to keep overcoming that. And Caleb, everyone talked about his feet looked better last week. The ball was coming out a little better. It took a little bit of a step. Keep that going. They're at home. Hopefully a little better with the cadence. A lot of matchups, Lawrence, as I'm sure you've seen, a lot of matchups in this game do favor the Chicago Bears, right? They do favor talent-wise. This isn't the same matchup I saw on film last week. Now, it's a pick-em just because of the way the Chicago Bears have been playing and all the things we just talked about with learning their scheme and do they make a mistake and are they all on the same page and all the things that we talked about. But I could see, guys, and maybe this is me just hoping after I watch the Lions game, I could see this offensive line, along with Cole Kmet, who I think is open the season, play pretty damn good football, slowly take over this game. As long as they don't hurt themselves, they can, on first and second down, be successful.
Wow. Olin Krutz, it's going to be great to listen to you in pregame on Sunday. That's for damn sure. Olin, let's play this for you and play for any listeners who haven't heard it. This is Ben Johnson today. When asked about Braxton Jones and assessing his performance so far, this is just earlier today.
At left tackle, you left things very open-ended going into the season about your plans there that you'd be evaluating. Has Braxton convinced you, or is that still very much
open? Yeah, each week we evaluate everybody on the roster, and so if a guy's playing well, you know, we let them know that and say that they're playing winning football for us. And if guys aren't doing well, then we have to look into how do we help them and put them in a better spot to succeed, or do we need to get somebody else in there? So that's a conversation we have for every player on the roster. You know, we'll see where we go each week, and you'll see on game day.
Well, what about specifically with Braxton? I mean, Joe Tooney is not at risk each week of being benched. What is your assessment of Braxton right now?
Braxton is—he's doing a good job in terms of knowing the game plan. I think he started the first half of each game really strongly, and we probably haven't had the second half finish that we've wanted.
So hasn't had the second half finish that he's wanted from Braxton. Olin, you know the body, you know about the injury, you know about the work habits, and you know the man a little bit. Are you? I mean, is that a guy on his way back from injury? What do you make of Ben Johnson's assessment there?
Well, first of all, I make of it since 2022, right, guys? Since 2022, since Braxton made his first start at left tackle, we could get better at left tackle, right? Like that's how long this has been going on, right? And it's just, okay, if we are, like nothing is more consistent in Chicago football, right? We're all excited. They start the year bad. The quarterback's, you know, is the quarterback good? Is he bad? Is the coach? Oh, my goodness. Let's all yell about the lowest paid offensive lineman, right? Like, that's what they always do. Like guys, you're highly paid players. Like, coach, they have to play better. Right, you have to have someone better than Braxton Jones before you pull him out. Right, like you're gonna put like that's gonna fix your problems. Putting Theo Bennett at left tackle, like these things just they make my brain hurt, guys. But yes, he came back from a major injury. Yes, that leg is giving out on him in the second half. But you had no plan for that. Like you guys knew that was gonna happen. Right, like this stuff really starts to frustrate me a little bit, as you can hear in my voice, because it's like we're in this hamster on this wheel, and we just keep running the wheel, man. Right, like whether it be Charles Leno, right? Like you get Charles Leno out here, like guys, like you're talking about things that don't matter, right? Like coach, can we get DJ? Where is Posey Loveland and Luther Burden? Right, you're gonna pull Braxton Jones out of the game. Like, okay, great. But if he has to play himself into shape, why are you pulling him out of the game? Right? He needs those reps, right? Why are you pulling Caleb Williams out of a game? They got to learn your scheme. They got to learn your system. Like, these things don't make sense to me. But, yes, Braxton wasn't great in both second halves. Yes, they could get better than the left tackle spot. Yes, they could have took Olu Fashanu, right, that instead of Roma Dunza. Yes, they could have took the kid out of Minnesota instead of trading down and getting Shamar Turner. They could do all those things, but they didn't.
They did not. Oh, I know that you're in Ohio. Might you make your way back home through Bloomington, Indiana this weekend?
I will make my way back home to, you know, Northern Illinois to watch the game. I have, you know, a few volleyball tournaments. Let's just say that coming up. I got my daughter Hannah's playing. My daughter Leah's playing. Abigail's playing. Grace is playing tonight. So as someone, a very smart person told me one time, what the hell did you think was going to happen when you had six kids? It's a good point.
It's a great point. Oh, have fun this weekend. We are going to see you on the pregame show. Be careful out there, and we'll see you next week.
Appreciate it, guys.
That is Olin Krutz. He is part of our pregame show, and it's going to be amazing. Before Dallas comes to town, tune in. Early time, because the game's at 3:25, but the guys are going to do the show at 9, your local Ford dealers pregame show here on The Score. Mully, Olin, Patrick, they'll get you set for the game, and then immediately after the game, they're going to have instant reaction on the postgame show, which is presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Arturo Tires. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app.
What I loved so much about Olin in that segment was a couple times you referenced, you guys have heard me talk about this off the air. Like when we were hanging out in the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance space for that kickoff show, Olin would share like, man, I don't know. I hope it's like, you know, because he wants to leave it open for the possibility of the positivity. But as soon as he sees what he thought he was seeing, he's like, come on, man, what the hell? And I like that he lets the listeners in on that.
Yeah, me too. And I find myself in that place, you know, like when you start thinking about, like, can they win a game? Obviously, it's the NFL. Like, anyone can win any week for the most part. And I when I do the analysis of it, I go, am I wish casting or is this what I actually think is going to happen here with this particular game? I would love it. I would love it if the Bears, you know how I feel about Bears Mondays when the Bears win. There's nothing better.
Come on, man. The whole town, dude. The whole town. It's everywhere. You go into the Walgreens. You're like, hey, how you doing? I'm better. See that? See that game? Yeah, you did. So did I. You basically high five on your way past the cash register.
Yeah, people are just happier. And Bears fans have been, as Olin pointed out, been stuck in this cycle of not being able to be happy. And I would like for our listener to be happy. Yeah. I would like for there to be a post game where we've been together, I think, exactly a year now, Speaks. And we haven't had a lot of happy post game calls from people.
And I
would love to have get in here on a Monday and just know, hey, man, we're going to open up the phone lines at 3 o'clock and people are going to be happy. And they'll be like, man, did you see how great Roma Dunze played? And finally, they got some pressure from Montez Sweat. And it just goes, no, you don't deserve it. You can't have it. You've had one win in your last 13 games.
Yeah. That thing about like making the pick and finding yourself doing the wish casting as you're making the pick, you hear a lot of people dealing with that. My favorite was Wani at the end yesterday.
Yes!
Like, Wani had a moment where he's like, we were talking about it, get all exasperated, speaking the truth about, you know, things that he's seeing and how unfortunate it is. And it's like, well, yeah, I'm picking the Bears. Like, it's like grumbling. And I felt
it's
I
like,
thought
the, like the rationalization of it. And you can see it in real time.
The pain, the pain on the man's face and in his soul as he's dealing with it. I thought of him last night, by the way, because he's like, he finally got off the Dolphins. And then when the Dolphins were looking like they might somehow pull that thing out, I'm like, don't do this to Wani.
Well, then
don't
then,
win now.
Then they dolphined. You know? They absolutely dolphin. So look,
they to it is what they did.
I know I'm already on the hook for a steak because of our Kyle Manung, I bet.
Yes,
I'm going to add this to the pile. Okay. Bears win, I got victory chicken on Monday.
All right. Bears win, you're bringing in victory chicken.
I'm getting victory chicken for the crew on Monday if the Bears win.
All right,
and baby Bears, T, you're included, even though you probably won't be here. But come in and get some chicken.
I actually am on Monday.
Oh, perfect. Studs, Bears, you too, man. You can have some chicken if you're here on Monday and they win. If they don't win,
he'll be in Hawaii.
Oh, that's a good point. Merry man. If they don't win, I don't know what any of us are gonna do.
Well, no, if they don't win, If they don't win, I will bring in setback sweetener, okay? Because that was the counterpart to Victory Chicken. It eventually was the counterpart because we needed a counterpart. So it was Victory Chicken and setback sweetener. If they lose, I'm going to bring in something delicious and sweet and decadent to deal with.
Okay. All right. I like that. That's a good
and
way.
If that fails, I'm just going to go get Wani's Bradshaw bourbon out of the closet.
I like that. We can eat our feelings. That's what we can do. Eat our feelings Monday if they lose. All right.
See you there.
So we're all in on this, not just the show, but you, the listener. If they win, it's Victory Chicken. If they lose, it's Eat Your Feelings Monday. All right.
Setback sweetener on a Monday. Either way, you're eating your feelings. Happiness or the other.
I think that it's a good thing. And this we're going to do this together. Hopefully there's chicken, but if there's not, there's going to be donuts. Back after this on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Hi, Boog.
We're a very important radio show, you know?
Yeah, you are. So very important.
I mean, do people have any idea?
That was my sincerity there. You want me another reading of that?
Yeah.
I'm going to count you down, okay? In three, two, one.
So very important.
Oh, perfect. That feels nice.
Yeah.
Afternoons on The Score.
And now the 1-2 from Hunter Green. Strike three called, and the ball game is over. Hunter Green pitches a masterpiece, a one-hit shutout, and the Reds win the opener by a score of 1-0.
Highlights courtesy of The Score, the great Pat Hughes, the Hall of Famer himself, on the call. Cubs lose in an incredible pitching matchup. One does have to wonder that after the clinch in Pittsburgh and we saw what was going on inside the clubhouse, and damn it, they should celebrate getting themselves to the playoffs. When you saw you're watching it in real time, Speaks, and I'm just sitting there going, wow, that's a lot of garbage cans full of beer and empty champagne bottles. Oh, and dude. I know most of it's on the floor. But still, they went for it, and I appreciate that.
Well, they went for it, and some of that is obviously just for the celebration and the spraying and all of that. But that's only the portion of the day that we see.
Correct.
Remember what time that game ended, you know?
Day game. It was long. And a short flight, too.
Early day game, too. Was it 12:15 Pittsburgh time was pregame? So 12:45 Pittsburgh time was first pitch. And then there's a long post game. And I know, you know, you didn't get on the air until whatever it was. But, like, they had plenty of time. You heard it in the tone when Pat and Ron were saying, you know, who knows when we'll be getting out of here. Like, yep. they're used to going right to the airport on a getaway day. That was not happening. Those guys are just hanging around waiting for the players to do their thing.
Yeah, and then you got like a 45-minute flight from Pittsburgh to Cincinnati. And you go there, and you're like, well, we don't have to play until tomorrow night.
I'm going
to
shower real quick, and I'll meet you in the bar in 14 minutes.
Exactly. Because it did feel like, other than Colin Ray, was a hangover game yesterday for the Northside Nine.
Dude, listen to Craig Counsell when asked about it in pregame yesterday, and just know that I've never seen Craig Counsell's eyes more red and then in this conversation, and maybe he had allergies or something. But also, it's the way that he kind of giggles at the end as he's given the benefit of some aging doubt at the end of this cut right here.
We had a lot of fun, and I think we were glad we accomplished it with a win. And it turned out perfect in my eyes. Like, we were able to get a win on a day game and had a lot of fun. Then we got to Cincinnati, and the old people went home, and the young people stayed out.
So you stayed out. Well played.
Thank you.
That's pretty good.
So you stayed out. And he left and said, thank you. He took the agent compliment because I'm pretty sure he stayed out. They all stayed out. As many of them as wanted to stay out.
But trust me, like if in the formation that we're in right now, like if the five of us, and I'm including Studs because he's in the back.
We got
of the
Cincinnati,
row,
and the old people went home, and the young people stayed out.
If we were to win like the Marconi, right, yeah, and we're celebrating, yeah, I would be there for the beginning of that celebration, and then I take my old ass home, and I would let Alex and Baby T, yeah, and Studs go and do what they need to do, and maybe you could go with them. But me, I'm taking my black ass home. I'm doing.
I'd say up until about a year and a half ago, Lawrence, I would have stayed out with the best of them and gone hard and stayed long.
We got
long.
Cincinnati, and the old people went home, and the young people stayed out.
These days, yeah,
jumping on the Metro Electric.
Let's just say with the pregame audio, you could tell who went out and who stayed home.
Yeah, other than
you can tell. Yes, other than I'm not going to name any names, but I heard some of that pregame audio yesterday.
There was slurry audio, and I mean slurring of words, not like slurs thrown at people, but there was some slurry audio from the Cubs dugout yesterday before the game.
You know, look, with all due respect to the problem that drinking like that can eventually be, and believe me, all due respect, right? There is some inevitable facts and some irrefutable facts about the group hangover dynamic occasionally bringing people together. Like, I've had radio shows. I mean, a legendary night for me and Parkins is when we went out and I beat the crap out of him in Ms. Pac-Man.
That's
Lawrence.
Your thing.
Yeah, it beat the crap out of him, and we got ridiculously hammered, and then the next day, finally had a radio show where it was very relaxed after a very bumpy start to our partnership. You know what I mean? Like, it can happen sometimes that it absolutely brings you together, and you're doing a little more of a relaxed thing together, and it can be good. I don't know that that's true for a baseball team playing a competitive game.
I think it's one of those things where there might be an intimacy or a closeness that is grown in that moment, right, and it might not bear fruit until later on.
But I thought the quality of the radio show grew that day.
No, you guys didn't have to face Hunter Green.
Right. Hunter Green wasn't staring at you the next day.
That's
so
true.
So it makes it a little bit easier. But yeah, I totally. Also, Tanny brought this up yesterday, and I think that he's right. We've got to ask Craig about his hair, because he's got a nice piece of lettuce going on up there too, but he's got the ball cap on so much that we don't take notice of it. Like, clearly, like, you see Dansby and be like, oh, there's a guy with a great head of hair. But I think Craig is in the team photo.
Very strong. It's very strong. Hey, by the way, something about that game last night. I really like AJ and Wainwright together, and I know that there's a lot of Cub fans who hate it because they're like, man, that's some anti-Cub bias, AJ with the Sox and Wainwright with the Cardinals. But whatever. Just in terms of when they're doing a game together, first of all, it's a battery. So the way that they talk about the matchups and the pitcher-catcher stuff is
freaking exquisite.
Oh, my God, it's good. And the same was true, by the way, when it was AJ and Ron Darling on Turner games together. Like, I like when there's a good catcher and a good pitcher together. But they had a moment, Lawrence, I don't know if you caught it, but when Will Benson was up, he was kind of leaning back and holding his bat straight up with his hands at his midsection, had a little waggle to it. And Wainwright said, kind of reminds me of Anthony Rizzo there. Kind of reminds me of Anthony Rizzo a little bit. And that was a good comp. And then AJ said, well, it's don't tell the Cincinnati people because it looks like Eric Davis from the other side. And it was like, oh, man, that's right. Eric Davis did hold it down there. Eric Davis was a right-handed version of Anthony Rizzo, but like two baseball dudes sitting around.
With a lot more speed.
Yes, yes. But two baseball dudes like visually allowing a comp to take them to two different players of different eras and having it connect. Man, I thought those guys were wonderful together. And our guy Adam Amin set them up beautifully.
Well, that's one of the great things. We've got a lot of, in this town, we have got a lot of great play-by-play people. And watching Adam at the national level play with these guys and move out of the way, because sometimes it's what you need to do as a play-by-play guy when you've got two other guys in the booth and they know their stuff and they're comfortable with each other. The other thing is AJ's really bleeping good at this. And really I'm glad that he has found this as a second or, I guess, third act of his life. He's so good at it, and he seems to enjoy it. And that joy comes across whether he's busting balls or if he's doing these kind of really intuitive breakdowns of what's happening inside of a player's mind, what's going on inside the game. It's great that he has found himself in the podcast world, in the foul territory world, and the stuff that he's doing for Fox. I love that for him.
Yes, sir. Could not agree more. So, and then, you know, hopefully we'll see. I'm sure that they'll get some games together in the playoffs, and I look forward to it.
We need to take one final break because we've got Cubs baseball for you tonight in Cincinnati on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. But when we come back, let's go back to talking about Fluce and Fluce knowing Caleb and Ben knowing Fluce. That's next here on The Score.
We got to Cincinnati and the old people went home and the young people stayed out.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on The Score.
How do you have to, I guess, prepare, call it to, for your game plan, how you're going to call a game when you know you're going against a defensive coordinator that knows Caleb intimately, his tendencies, all of the things that he did since he spent so much time with them?
Yeah, well, we've got guys in the building that know how his mind works, and so we had some information on just schematically how he liked to approach my offense in general and his feelings on Caleb. So I feel like we know what he knows, and you know, we'll be just fine there.
I think that's a good approach. The last 2 weeks, Speaks, have been really weird with what do you know and what do they know, and do they know that you know what you know, and how do you take advantage of what you know without them taking advantage of what they know, that you know, that I know, that someone knows something.
It's true. It's true. And at some point it becomes ridiculous because the players have to be out there on the field. And once you start seeing stuff, you start adjusting to what's happening anyway, and it becomes in-game in the bubble. But I do think this idea, and that cut was from what, Wednesday?
Yes.
This idea, or maybe even Tuesday. This idea has kind of underpinned the whole week of thinking about it. Like the Eberflus Caleb thing, to me, it's fascinating. And when Ben says, we know what he thinks of Caleb. So it's the same thing. That to me is really interesting. If I were Matt Eberflus, I would want Caleb Williams to prove that he can beat me from the pocket. So I would build my pass rush scheme and my front seven scheme designed to not let Caleb Williams get outside the pocket and be Superman. So I'm not going to necessarily blitz him like crazy and leave lanes wide open, because once he gets outside and the instincts like kick in, sometimes he can do some real damage. I'd make him sit there and beat you from the pocket. I would assume that's what Matt Eberflus thinks, and I would assume Ben Johnson knows from the guys who are still here that that's what Matt Eberflus thinks. So then what does Ben do about that? That's where I've gotten with this thought process. You know what I mean?
It looks like Jadeveon Clowney won't play this weekend, but the idea of being real responsible with your pass rush lanes.
Yes,
and
sir.
That obviously you're trying to get the quarterback on the ground if you're Dallas, but not letting him get outside. Like,
yes.
Keep contained, keep him uncomfortable, keep him having to be mobile inside the pocket. Drop 7, drop 8. Make him think that there are windows open and then close those windows on him, I think would be what Matt Eberflus would try to do. But you can only do that if you have the right personnel. That's why this game has the potential to be amazing.
Hold on, though, because you said something very important, and it reminds me of something last night. So let's say that from last night's game. So let's say that they're responsible with their pass rush lanes, and they just kind of try to slowly compress the pocket and make Caleb stay there. And then you said make him think he's seeing things and then take them away. That interception of Tua that ended the game.
Yeah.
Where the linebacker's just sitting there watching his eyes. That's a young quarterback who, I mean, Tua by now should know, but like, can't you see Caleb looking and thinking he sees something? And meanwhile, the linebackers are told by Eberflus, now he's going to look for this and he's going to think he sees it. And that's when you pounce. Like, I'm worried now about those kind of interceptions from what you said and what I watched last night.
Since we knew we were going to do this segment, like I wrote something down during the break, and considering how we started the show, Speaks, do you think, and it's the same outcome no matter what, but do you think Bears fans will be more excited about the Bears winning or Eberflus losing? Because we know that we don't want Eberflus to win. Yeah, no one wants the victorious Judd Nelson scene from Breakfast Club for Matt Eberflus.
But you walk on by.
But is the final score satisfying if the Bears win the game? Just be like, man, they're 1-2 and they're kind of back in there. Or is that a secondary reaction to, thank God they didn't allow that guy to win a game as the defensive coordinator for Dallas?
No. I think it's secondary, and it's consistent with my pushback on you at the beginning. I think we're still in a place where we want wins. This year is supposed to be about wins, and the league, man, you go to 1-2, you're alive.
Sure,
you're alive. You're
it feels
alive.
So much better than 0-3.
I mean, 0-3 is going to feel absurd. 1-2 would feel like, man, you're alive. And you know what 1-2 saves? You're going to be in the hunt. You're going to make the in the hunt graphic.
Getting the graphic in November.
At the very least, that's the Bears standard. The Bears standard is not playoffs. It hasn't been for a while.
I need them in the hunt graphic in week 12. That's what I need.
And at this point, 0-3 means you might not make the in the hunt graphic in week 12 or 13.
When you're like, oh, there the Bears are at 5-6. There they are. They're in the hunt. See, they're at the bottom.
But they're in the hunt. But I don't think, like, the Eberflus thing, I think in either direction, it's a cherry on top or, you know, the turd on the bottom if it's a loss. But it's like, it's that extra thing. Because even when I paint the scenario of the loss and, like, boy, Caleb couldn't do it to this Cowboys defense that gave up all those yards to everybody else and all this. And Eberflus is Judd Nelsoning his way off the field.
That is not going to feel good. And you know his wife is going to be chirping.
Oh, man.
She's going to be chirping.
You know, when Eberflus, I picture him when he's running off the field, the swarm of bees is behind him. Like, they've all come with him, and they're just following him. It's a superhero power. The swarm of bees just hangs out with him during the game.
No, they create a crown, and then they fly over his head as a crown.
Come here, Stinger. Come here, Stinger 2 and Stinger 3.
If he gets
you
the win.
You guys come with me.
Awesome show today. Thanks to Dan Weeder and thanks to Olin Krutz for making it so. Shout out to Baby T. Great job today, Baby T. And, of course, Alex. So, for Alex, Baby T, my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support that you show this show every single day. May God have mercy on our souls if the Bears don't win on Sunday. But either way, we gonna eat. This is what we have decided as a show, and you are with us. We eating on Monday either way. Either we're going to drown ourselves in some sweets, or we're going to have some victory chicken. One of those two things is going to happen. All right? Right. Break.
I know just where I'm going to get the cupcakes.
Oh. You better. You better get them from there.
I damn will.
They better not be holdovers from the bar mitzvah either, sir. Don't even try that. If I see a Star of David on the cupcake, I'll know. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. Stay out of trouble and do the best that you can. Hopefully we'll be reconvened with a win. Hopefully. Cubs baseball is next.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.